And we're back. This is the 80s, 90s, 2000s vibes, the podcast. I'm your host as usual, Matt Corbin. Here with the fellas. I got Jamar. I got Lee Boy. Fellas, how y'all feeling this week?
Sheesh. You know, we turning up, baby. It's March now, right? I don't know what that means. March Madness?
Yo, it's my birthday month, man.
Okay, there you go. I knew we was turning up for something. Birthday month, huh?
I turned 31 in a couple weeks, man, and I ain't
old
rich
as hell,
yet.
Bro.
God damn it. Yeah,
you getting old.
I ain't rich yet. I don't appreciate that too much.
Hey,
but I'm going to keep
on
working,
the way.
Man.
It's on the
keep
way.
Faith. What's up
hey,
with y'all, man?
One thing we was, other reason to celebrate, we hit the top 100 in the Entertainment
hey,
News podcast.
Hey,
that was dope.
Hey.
Shout out to Chartable, right? That was on the Chartable list.
Yeah, that's the only way I know how to find them, motherfucker.
Yeah, man. Hey, y'all keep supporting. Y'all tell somebody. So y'all subscribe. Also subscribe to our YouTube right now because we on our way up. You don't find us now. You ain't gonna be able to catch up with us, baby. We gonna go into the moon. Let's go.
And I'm gonna get real bougie and brand new on some of y'all ass. So y'all better join. Y'all better start supporting now. I'm gonna keep it a thaw out with you.
Coming.
Nothing wrong Big with fact. That. What's up with it though? What we get into?
I was gonna say also we booming though in our little chat the on Instagram, man.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make sure y'all tap in with us in the DM, man. That's just been fun. Dope little polls, quizzes, news, updates, everything that has affiliated with the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes podcast you can find right there. What is that? What is it called? The little chat?
Debate Nostalgia with us, I think.
What's
that feature called?
Broadcast.
Yeah,
IG
it's
broadcast.
Like a channel broadcast or something.
Yeah. It's just something new to interact with the people. You dig? So, man, if y'all fuck with us, y'all rock with us. I'm cursing earlier. Y'all rock with us, man. Come on, go ahead, join that broadcast channel, man. Don't be like that. Support us.
Nah, please do. Like you said, a lot of nostalgic topics, all those thoughts you've had about this show, that show, whatnot. We talking about it. And fellas, speaking of diving right into it, A Different World. Obviously, Different World, very iconic show. Black community raised a lot of people as far as the college atmosphere and what to expect from there. They had a reunion. And Sinbad, thank God, he was out there after the stroke. Looked like he was looking good and all that good stuff. But it begged the question of, number one, fellas, from which I saw of the reunion, one, what do you think of it? And two, are there any other sitcoms that you can think of from our childhood where you're like, I could see, you know, a good, you know, reunion out of that. We need it. Talk to me. What y'all thinking?
Bro, we got all the reunions we could possibly get. We got the Fresh Prince one. I think that's the one. The Fresh Prince or the Martin one, would y'all say, was the one people wanted to see the most?
Those
some reunions
the two that popped in my head, yeah, Fresh Prince and Martin, yep.
We got a Moesha one on the TV, on some show. Nah, we don't need no more reunions, man. I don't know. That's... let me think.
You
nah,
dead already?
Bro.
Wait. I got one in my head that has not been done quite yet that could be really dope. Have they done a Living Single reunion?
They have.
But you know what? I don't think they will.
Why?
Because all the controversy. I mean, I know they've been stirring up a lot of controversy with Friends. They mad as hell, and they keep mentioning it every time they get a chance. We was friends first. All right, we got it. Y'all was Friends first on NBC, and y'all had a successful season before it started. But there may be some political things behind that. But to see, you know, Queen Latifah, who else was in there? Kim Fields. Yeah, everybody. I ain't going to start missing
names.
Names
right now, but yeah.
I know the Overtons, and yeah, I can name the actual the character names even easier. But no, I think that would be a dope one considering, you know, some of the iconic people up there. Shout out to Maxine Shaw. She's always one of my favorites. So
we got a Living Color one, right? We've got that multiple times.
Yeah, I'm about to say they come back together for like 25 and multiple year anniversaries. So
as far as the Different World one, I'm just happy to see everybody still cool, bro. Cause as you know, especially us fucking black people, we don't get along for a long period of time. The ego, the pride, the misunderstandings, the lack of communication, the fact that everybody's still cool, bro, is a blessing in itself. And I know a lot of people say this, but this is the reason why I went to HBCU, literally this show. So This is another show I would honestly say I would love to see a reboot of with a younger cast if it's done right. But the original cast has to have something to do with the creative direction of the show. That's it. I feel like this is the type of show that shouldn't have went away ever. Well, of course, I'm going to say shouldn't have went away because it was the 90s. Ain't no show going to last 40, 50 years unless it's The Simpsons, right?
Yeah, and it was in college, so after college, it's kind of – they was stretching it already for a while. Then they, like, moved out, got apartments. Yeah, it's only served many, but, you know, so many storylines.
But it's even with that, it's, kids don't stop going to college. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like – and Dwayne was a teacher, a professor, and you could have just kept the next generations going on. I feel like with the right creative, the right script, the right actors, the right cast, this show can come back. But like I said, the original cast has to be involved. That's it. That's the only way it'll work.
Jamal, you raised a good point, too. I just want to throw when you say, you know, kids are still going to be going to college. Actually, I think right now that's the issue is that a lot of young, whether black, white, Chinese, these kids are not going to college. They don't see the value in it anymore. So realistically, I think about it. Top shows, that's why I'm like, this probably wouldn't work for that reason. But I definitely think we should, like you said, reboot this. I think most shows, if they were good, like anything that goes past like that 5 season, I think you should do a reunion for, you know, 10 year, 15, stuff like that. That'd make more sense than I think trying to do a full on, you know, revival of the show. Cause you know, people die, this, that, and third, people get sick. Like we noticing that unfortunately with a lot of these legends. Yeah, 10, 15 years later, you come back, it's not even the same person.
Facts. What show we don't need a reunion for? I'm gonna put y'all on the spot, dog.
Girlfriends, and I'm throwing that out there.
Oh, like, what?
What? No, I'm trying to see that, man.
I'm happy you said that. Here's why I'm not. The way it was in that last season, because I recently watched it on Netflix, it was already sporadic. Like, it was one of those things where they was just trying to hold on to a story. So this mythical story and ending that we romanticizing, we're not getting it. It doesn't exist.
I fuck with Girlfriends a little bit. I
would say shows, you know, like half and half, like now. Some of them shows was trash. The UPN shows. Some of them UPN shows was not the lick. But, you know, I would love to see, like, let's see, A Smart Guy, you know, Sister. I think either one of those would be dope. But, you know, they actually have a show on TV right now that is A Different World. Y'all ain't been watching, what is that, College Hill?
College Hill Stallone?
This is that reality show. They got Ray J going back to school, man.
Oh, it's not the costume you thinking of.
And Amon Shumpert and Amber Rose. Yeah, they all go.
What the fuck kind of College Hill is this? This just sound like College Hills of Atlanta or some
for the
shit.
Ratchet of Atlanta. Yeah, it's for the Ratchet. They had HBCUs though, so I mean,
yeah, the first season was at Texas Southern. My alum, I remember it. Man, nah, I'm good. Coach.
But as far as you know, A Different World, I think, you know, obviously this show is just incredible, amazing, and it was just so positive. There's so many legendary actors that made their way through the show, including great appearances by people like Pac, and you know, you guys know the list. So you know, it only makes sense. And then, as we mentioned, God bless Sinbad for making it out there. Man, I'm worried about bruh, but it looks like he's on the road to recovery. That's you know, the most important. And he's been very supportive the couple times that I met him. He's just a dope individual, very positive as far as his comedy and his output in the industry. So wishing him the best. And man, pump up these HBCUs. I went to Howard University myself. I talked about it a couple times. Shout out to the real HU, all the Bisons out there. You know what I'm saying? We are the culture. Even though I ain't make it all the way through, you know, I'm still representing. So
that's big facts, man. Nah, shout out to Sinbad, man. We glad to see you on the road to recovery, man. Personally, my favorite character in the original Good Burger, bro.
Shout out
to Sinbad.
But what was better though, Cosby Show or A Different World?
I'm going A Different World. You know what? Matt Lee Boy, if I had to rank them, I'd choose A Different World over Cosby Show. But if I was being unbiased and I had to rank them for a network or a brand, I definitely would rank it above A Different World because, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? Other than, it's only three black show, well, maybe three or four black shows other than Cosby Show that you can put above it. That's The Fresh Prince, Good Times, The Jeffersons, and maybe Martin. To me, other than those four shows, there is no really, I can't really argue that. So if you want to put The Cosby Show over A Different World, I can't get mad at it. It's a spinoff of it. You dig? So, and that's one of my favorite shows too. But I'm personally going A Different World.
That's fair. That's fair. Definitely liking that. Yeah, but like I said, fellas, we're definitely going to see as time comes, hopefully, like I said, these stars don't get too old before they get to realize it. But I want to move on to that because y'all mentioned HBCUs, and this next topic has a lot of HBCU culture, if you will, fellas, and that is the Freaknik documentary. I believe we also have a clip of that, Jamal.
All right. To the listeners, we're about to listen to the official trailer March 21st on Hulu. So give me a second. Let me get the trailer. Y'all can keep talking.
Yeah, man. Don't you dare put that culture on HBCUs, man. What you saying? They getting freaky in the dorms? They getting freaky.
I went to an HBCU.
Oh, okay. We all did. Yeah. Y'all know. Hey, did they separate y'all male and female dorms? Is it like that at every HBCU?
No, not at all. And I was in the honors dorm, so mine was mixed. I had women right next door.
Oh, no. I used to be getting caught in the field. They used to do sweeps at Howard. Like, is there any niggas in here? Yep. We in
the closet. Get your ass out of here.
Shout out we to hide in the shower. Look.
Share screen. Okay, wow. There you go. I was having trouble finding the share screen, but god damn.
Oh, no. We good. Freaknik, the goddamn.
Let me know if y'all can see down. My screen. Y'all can see my screen?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We see your all Zelle right. Password too. No, I'm playing.
All right, everybody. This is the official Hulu trailer for the Freaknik doc coming out on March 21st.
Every generation has a moment where they come just to have some fun.
Not Killer Mike.
Atlanta is the mecca for black people in America.
It has multiple historically black colleges.
In the 80s,
we said, let's plan a picnic during spring break.
Let's call it Freaknik.
Freaknik was the greatest black gathering in America.
It was like an entry point into the black cultural experience.
To be able to be in the middle of the street, dancing, laughing, playing your music, it's a moment.
The interstate, the highway, was a street party.
There wasn't even a word called twerking, it was just called booty shaking.
They weren't no social media, barely had internet.
During Freaknik, stars start coming in. You would see Tupac, Cootie Mob, Outkast, Usher Raymond.
I'm having a ball out here.
I don't know what heaven looks like, but this seems like a version of it.
You was lit. Okay.
The legacy of Freaknik is black joy, black self-determination,
black love, black are they showing all the positive black shit? Enterprise.
Yeah.
But the legacy of Freaknik is also the ugly side.
Ah, oh, see?
It started to get a lot more out of control. People were coming Mark by the masses.
No, he in it on it.
That's
what
right.
The hell just happened?
If you tried to bring back Freaknik, wouldn't be what it was.
Oh, I'll believe it. I can't wait.
The people, the debauchery.
The things that I saw, insane.
We had no inclination.
Everybody,
we were creating.
The kids ain't know nothing about Freaknik.
We had no idea that we were freaky as hell back
Trust
then.
Me, your mom and daddy got down.
Uh-oh. All right. Let's see.
Oh, man. Woo! No, that looked like it's going down. First of all, I love the involvement from the actual stars that was there. Jermaine Dupri.
Oh, call them stars. Oh, I thought you said
what? What?
Oh, no, not the P stars.
Why 21 Savage on there when he my age?
I don't know. Man. Okay, great question. His mama was at Freaknik. He was born at Freaknik. No, he was born in England, wasn't he?
Right.
She attended Freaknik and went back to England.
Like, man, I don't get jealous often, bro. But this is the one time I'm jealous. I'm envious because I wish I was old enough to fucking experience this, bro. Mm-hmm. This shit is wild, bro. And my aunt is so scared that she gonna be captured on this shit. And as soon as she told me that, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm definitely watching. Now, I ain't gonna say her name, and I ain't gonna point her out. I ain't gonna do it like that. But if she I'm gonna be looking extra hard. I think it's from the year 94, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And she said she went from 93 to 97. So she was there all them years, or she went to school them years?
Oh, she went every year. Oh, she was front row.
Yeah, she's a real hot girl. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait. But, man, what's y'all thoughts? Y'all watching? I'm tuned in.
I'm going to definitely watch it. I think my biggest thought, I guess, of it is all, like Mark Lamont said, like, what's the quote-unquote bad part y'all going to show? Because, like, we know the good, like I said, they're going to show, obviously, all the, you know, Divine Nine, everybody stepping, having a good time, all that. But I also think another point is, if you've grown realistically, there's nothing to be really ashamed of if you stuck your head in somebody's ass 22 years ago, because... like she said, there was barely an internet, so you didn't know. And even you, Jamar, said I'm jealous. It's like, you know, jealous with hindsight, because it's like we wouldn't know what we know now about it, and even going into it, like they didn't know. You know what I mean? This was gonna be a documentary 30 years later.
But bro, I guess you gotta understand. I think Matt, you looking at it from you a millennial, right? 94. I think all three of us are millennials, right?
So, yeah.
So we look at it from a millennial's perspective. I think the older generation, like they don't really. You ever run into somebody who, like, I got an uncle. He's like 47. That's not that much older than me. He's 17 years older than me, but he don't know how to work Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And I'm like, dog, you just 47. Why are you acting like you 60? I say that to say, bro, I think that generation right before us. I think they still, like, get embarrassed about stuff they did when they was younger. Like,
oh, yeah, because it was a lot of privacy. You know, privacy was king, you know, at some point. Right. And we wasn't telling our business and putting it on tape. Because these people that you're seeing are not the ones that have the video cameras, right? are people that are just out there partying. They might have said, hey, because, you know, they wasn't used to seeing video cameras back then. So when you saw them back in the 90s, you say, hey, say your name. What's up? Like, you never expecting it to be online. So, and then... you know, at the stage of these people's careers, because it sounds like a lot of these people may be professionals now. They went to HBCUs. Right. They may have finished. They may be doctors, lawyers, but definitely some preachers out there. You already know some people that crossed over to the church. Deacons, deaconess.
I can see T.D. Jakes out there, bro. I swear to God, if T.D. Jakes on that shit, I'm a fucking loser. I'm screenshotting that shit and sending it to everybody. Look freak ass T.D. Jakes.
And for me, it's always a theory. The super saved people, they got a reason why they super saved, because they probably was at Freaknik. And now they up in the church front row, front of the pew, and they're going to be embarrassed as hell as this shit show them in compromising positions. But as you said, like, I hope they just don't demonize it too much. These are college people having fun. They called it Freaknik, but that's just they dancing in their way that they were speaking. I think for the most part, obviously people was getting down. That's what people do on spring break. That's what college people do. But, you know, to be having fun, dancing, promoting the culture in Atlanta, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Just hopefully, you know, it ain't no rape allegations. And come on, Mark, whenever Mark Lamont Hill is, you know it's gonna be some bullshit coming behind us. That's the only part I'm worried about. You know what?
Man.
Yeah, he be on some bullshit. I ain't gonna lie.
He's a wild boy. I definitely agree.
Yeah. I got some shit to say about him.
Because of course this generation got OnlyFans. They this shit will be down this generation alley. Like right. You recording this? That's $10.99. So that old generation, they ain't playing that shit. You know what I'm saying? So I understand. But nobody tripping. Nobody judging y'all, man. Like, dog, you let a nigga play with your asshole, bro, on camera, it's cool. Like, they do it all the time now.
I was about to say, there's people out who, they talking about, hey, man, I suck dick for crack. Whatever the case is, and these is men. Like, my point being is that nobody's embarrassed. I feel like, yeah, realistically, grow up. You know,
I got these cheeseburgers, man.
And,
yeah,
and unless you sit next to pastor up there in the pew and everybody look, that was you. It's gonna be a whole lot of prayers on March. What is it, when it come out? March 21st. Yeah, it's gonna be a whole lot of people getting called up to the front. You know, we gotta put hands on Miss Johnson.
Free promo, March 21st on Hulu, man. Hey, real quick, before we move on, man, to the girl who keep texting me, I'm not coming over there with all them fucking kids, man. I'm not coming over there with all them kids, bro. I'm sorry. My house is clean and quiet.
You did? I feel like the fact that you said all them kids, that means it's more than three.
Bro, it's three of them.
That is a lot to begin putting out invitations.
All that screaming and yelling and shit and touching me, putting them in. Why are your hands wet? Why are your hands wet? What you got on your hands? You touching me, your hands wet? Like, bro, what the fuck?
You don't know where them hands been. Probably in the toilet.
Red shit on my shirt from the hot Cheetos. No, I'm not coming over there, man. Leave me alone. I'm potting right now.
And then before we move off documentaries, just a reminder, Quiet on the Set, March 17th, HBO, your boy go be in it. They put out some crazy trailers with my guy Brian Hearn and also Giovanni Samuels. And then they made a reveal of y'all saw Drake Bell. We kind of had figured it was going to be Drake Bell. I was hoping for Jamie Lynn Spears, but that is about to go down. So we definitely going to be talking about it right here on the pod in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned.
Let me ask you, Lee Boy, and it's up to you. Do you want to dedicate a whole episode reacting to?
Let's do it. In fact, yeah, y'all subscribe to the Patreon now so y'all can get it on day one. We'll definitely sit down and react.
Quiet on the Set, man. Y'all tune in.
And Freak Nick, it's gonna be a month for documentaries, boy.
Facts. We tuned in. We locked in, dog.
Freaky documentaries too.
Freak on the set.
Brian Freak, the Brian Peck, the Freak pecking people.
Oh man,
no comment.
I could have took it even farther. Let me stop already. Y'all get it. It's coming to Patreon. Y'all make sure y'all subscribe to 80s, 90s, 2005 Patreon ASAP.
Please do. Like I said, we're going to be in tune, as we have been, fellas, to this next topic, LeBron James. Obviously, we've been watched story career, 21 years, still going at it. You know what I mean? Obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer. All-star game once again, but 40,000 points. Shout out to Lee Boy with the chain. You know what it is.
Y'all can't see it. I had to pull out my Laker chain. Bron putting on for them Lakers, boy.
But if you coach it, you can see it. But yeah, fellas, first off, what's your thoughts on him hitting 40,000? And then the master question, because everybody's already on it. Do you think anybody will pass that? Talk to me.
The minutes in the NBA will dictate that nobody will pass it. I think there's an opportunity for certain players like Luka Doncic. I think he's not going to be able to play long enough, though, right? And this also includes playoff points as well, right? This is everything. This is not just regular. So his playoff career and how he went to, 10 finals in a row will make it very difficult for people to touch this because of the amount of playoff appearances and series that he's done. Another person I like to come close and challenge this also doesn't play enough minutes, and I think he's going to end up with an injury. But I like his game, Wembanyama, man. Obviously, he's very young, got a lot of years ahead of him. Do we got 22 years, 21 years? I don't know. They talking about you got to average 30 for 20 years, playing 75-plus games a year. I don't know if anybody going to be able to do that like Bron, because he started at 18, too, so he also has those extra years in the league. Ain't nobody touching Bron. Ain't nobody touching it.
I would say Luka Doncic, but I don't think – y'all know how I feel about Luka, man. I think Luka's going to do a lot of scoring and a lot of losing. That's just how I feel, bro. And what I mean by losing, man, I'm not saying that they not going to make the playoffs. Y'all get what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about second round, Western Conference Finals, ACC.
Like, Dirk's
pretty much, bro. Pretty much. Shout out to LeBron, my favorite player, the GOAT to me. You know, I don't give a damn about no fucking Michael Jordan. I was born in 93, so I remember them Wizards years. I ain't gonna forget them. I know everybody else kind of hit the Men in Black light. They don't never talk. I remember Kobe putting 50 on his old ass. I'll never forget it, bro. I was 9. I was in the 4th grade. The Wizards was playing the Lakers. This one, Kobe first had trimmed down his fro. Man, Kobe gave that nigga 50. I'm like, yeah, old man, it's time to go to the crib, bro. That nigga Kobe was just trying. Nah, son. Shout out to Bron, man. I forgot about the playoff points and the 10 straight NBA Finals. Boy, that was a great point. Yeah, that's going to be hard to beat.
It's almost impossible because, like you said, Luka, his game is just not made for the playoffs, bro. He can't play defense. It looks like his condition's a little bit better, but when you get to that part of the season, he's just not built like a Giannis or obviously like a LeBron. So,
And for a while, I thought it was going to be KD, but it seemed like KD don't want to be KD no more.
He done.
I'm happy you said that, Jamal.
Y'all think KD lost a step?
No. I think KD realized, and I think with a lot of people, because Luka, to your point, he was like, Luka maybe could do it. He's not going to just because he's not going to play enough years. Because he said it. He was like, basketball is important, but not enough for me to play 20-some years. I think, personally, I think Wembanyama has the best chance for the simple fact, the pace, even though minutes, like, is going to go down, the pace of the game is ridiculous. I just watched the game the other night. It was 152 to 104. There wasn't an all-star on the court the entire game. And these are bench players putting up these kind of points. Why? Because we're shooting 52 threes now amongst both teams over three quarters. That's why I'm like, mark my word, give it 5 years, we're going to have a kid averaging 40. No problem. Just like, it's, you know what I mean, back with the old Lakers when you had, you know, Elgin Baylor and all that. But the difference is they're going to average 40. The score's going to be 168.
Kobe, James Harden, and Michael Jordan all averaged 35 in a season before. So, yeah, it's definitely – possible, bro. It may happen. You're right.
Yeah, it's just the years, because I mean, Kobe is as prolific of a scorer as you can get. I know the game has changed. It was definitely a lot slower when he had them trees down there, and we had Paul Gasol and Bynum. Mm-hmm. So the game was played a lot slower, more defense, and you know, just more methodical. But he played 20 years, and what, Vince Carter, pretty prolific scorer, played 20 years. They ain't even get close to this at all. I mean, he passed Kobe years ago. So it's just hard for me to believe that anyone, because and Kobe takes his conditioning very, very seriously, was a very in tune player.
Take the first 3 years off, right? Because Kobe's not option one like Braun first 3 years, right? Take injury, take Achilles, take all of these things that never happened to Braun, because them two, you can compare. They both came out of high school. But that's what I'm saying. You got to be very lucky to even play 82. Granted, Braun never played 82, but to play 70-some games every season like Braun does.
That's why I just don't see it for Wembanyama, man. That's why I'm
like, if he can average 40, right? Because you just said that. But think about it. 40 is not that unrealistic.
And then LeBron's still playing. Like, and he's still playing at a high level. So he adding to the points. Let me say one thing before we move on. Jaylen Brown, bro. I swear to God, that shit was cap, and I would sag off your ass again, because you can't shoot like that. You cannot shoot like that. You are a star. You are a star in this league, bro. 100%. But I'd be damned if you shoot like that in a fucking 7-game series every game. So Golden State had the perfect game plan. It just that night you was on fire, bro. Stop it, bro. All the people in the comments talking about it was dumb. Man, shut up. You don't know shit about basketball. That boy can't shoot like that. That's why they played him like that.
100%.
Now, Jason Tatum, you can't sag off like that. But what frustrated me about the Celtics is they should win a championship this year. But if they don't, it's because they shoot too many fucking threes. And Jaylen Brown shoot all these contested threes like he fucking Kobe or T-Mac.
Yeah, that's
in the playoff series, the 7-game series, that's exactly how teams are going to play him. And you just going to have to score 40 or be on fire like he was going to go to stay every night. And I don't think that's going to happen, dog. And I'm just putting that just my 2 cents. Because I seen what he said. Like, bro, you can't shoot, my nigga. You can't. That's all I got to say about that. that's my little rant.
I respect it.
You know what? In regards to the 40K, I'm surprised. Obviously, we know Steph, you know, he had 4 years in college, so that took away some of his time. But he only got 23,000. He's just a few years younger than LeBron. And for him to have 40 versus 23, and we know what kind of score Steph is, it just shows you the greatness because Steph is one of the best scorers of all time.
Still, when Steph, you say that, but we've also watched Steph play with teams where it was multiple guys averaging 20. Braun was on a team for 10, 15 years with guys averaging 2. So it makes
sense. What KD is? How many points KD got?
He just passed Melo, so he's top 10. He got to have 29,000. But again,
God damn, he still got 10,000 to go.
28,000.
Right? You got to think injury years. Years he didn't make the playoffs like how LeBron.
28,000. He only spent 1 year in college, right?
Yeah, that takes money.
But hell,
Bron the GOAT. Bron the GOAT. Bron the GOAT. KD's supposed to be the best scorer of all time.
No. Magic is the GOAT. He played 12 years and won 5 rings. We got to put time into this.
I am mad at that.
I'm not giving it to LeBron. Sorry. And I like
Magic with Michael Jordan buying prisons and shit.
No, I ain't mad at your Magic take. I always got Magic as, you know, I got Magic, Shaq, Bron. Those are my favorite three. I don't know if they're the best three. Obviously, Jordan is in there. I ain't going front on Jordan like that. Him and LeBron are the top two of the GOATs. But I rock with Magic was my original favorite before Jordan. LeBron has since taken that mantle. Nobody's ever going to touch the 40K. Boy, going to be in the 40-40 club in his 23rd year. That's how you're going to throw it in Jordan's face. Get to his 23rd year, 40-40 club, win a championship with Bronny. Man, GOAT status.
Bro, I don't think I was saying this when he was in high school, and LeBron is my favorite player, bro. I was saying this in high school. I never thought Bronny was all that good. And what I mean by that is he is a solid player. I don't think he's a great player. I was saying this in high school. When he was in high school, and people were like, Jamal, you got to give him time to develop. I can't really argue against that. So I'm like, okay. But he was like 6'1". You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, bro, okay, unless he just randomly hit a growth spurt like LaMelo. Remember, LaMelo Ball was 5'10". Then we blinked and he was 6'5". Literally. Unless he hit one of them growth spurts, bro, he's 6'3".
Yeah, he about 6'3". Could get to 6'4", maybe.
Right. I hope he do. And I hope I'm wrong. But I think Bron ain't going to spend 2-3 years in college. Then go to the league. Stop. He not one and done. It's not happening.
Nah, I think he's going to be one and done, man. And not because of his talent. Not because of his talent. I think just because the Lakers will strategically want to keep Bron until his retirement, and they are going to invest in Bronny to make sure that they keep LeBron. I can see him being a Gary Payton Jr. You know what I'm saying? Get a couple blocks, couple dunks, couple threes, and that's it. Tim Hardaway Jr., obviously he's a baller, but he had to grow into it and develop. I believe, you know, under the tutelage of LeBron on his team and the Lakers organization, he could be something. Because I forget what player it is. I want to say it might have been Jimmy Butler that had the same stats as him his first year, 5 points, something like very minuscule in his first season in college basketball. And obviously, he grew to be a good player.
If he can get to Jimmy Butler level, that'll be awesome.
Yeah. I'm just saying they have comparable stats for their first year in college.
His heart some time. I think, and generally speaking, Jamal is right. He's never going to be a fraction of what, but I think even more time. Let's just give his heart time. Like I said, he's definitely give him 2 years in college. Just let him be a regular NBA player. If he becomes it, if not, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's not like he need the fucking money.
You know, he got NIL and his pops is rich. He is A-OK.
His dad a billionaire, man.
It wasn't Jimmy Butler, so don't quote me on that. It's somebody else. But
congratulations, LBJ, the GOAT to me. And I don't care what nobody else feel about it. Nobody. Hey, this is our fucking podcast. If you don't like it, make your own podcast, motherfucker.
Exactly. But fellas, staying on the basketball topic before we dive in and move into some music and other things. Allen Iverson trophy, statue rather. Pretty much. It's coming out April 12th, I believe they're going to unveil it. Now I think he's the 10th Sixer to have, you know, a statue. Yep. And first of all, one, do you guys think is, you know, something that is fair to even be giving them? And then two, do you think they're going to get this right? Unlike, you know, we felt about the Kobe Bryant statue. That was another one I wanted to throw in there.
Well, they better get it right. I mean, Iverson, it's kind of hard to say you deserve a statue if you didn't get the championship. I ain't gonna lie.
The statue is gonna be him just like this. This is gonna be the statue. That's gonna be the statue.
And need to have a button on there that say practice. We talking about practice? Yeah, we talking about practice. You should have been practicing instead of being in them clubs. Nah, but you know, obviously Allen Iverson is a GOAT in his own right, and in his you know, as far as his cultural status and how he was able to elevate the NBA from you know, with the Ja Morant, you know, type, them types that really transcend the game and affect kids on a different level culturally. He paved the way for certain players in that type of in that lane. So definitely want to give him his flowers. I know I was mad as hell at Iverson because my little high school girlfriend, she had him on the front of his folder, and I couldn't grow braids. And I was hot. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't get no tattoos. I was only 15, 16. So I had, you know, I was a little jealous, but the Lakers got in that ass. Lakers got in that ass, pause. And, you know, Kobe Bryant was giving it to him the entire career. So, but, you know, I think it's well deserving for what he did for the city, you know, taking them to a championship with people like, who did he have, man? What was his lineup Snow. Like?
Eric Snow, Larry Hughes.
Was it Theo Riley? Was that them?
Yeah.
Theo Riley.
Rajah Bell.
Trash players. No, they was cool, but they was definitely elevated with Iverson. Didn't really see them do too much outside of Iverson. Of course, other than Mutombo, but that was the later years of his career. But yeah, he did a lot for the city, a lot for the organization. I'm just not sure I would give any any trophies if you didn't win a championship, because it's a lot of people out there that could be getting trophies based on that bar.
Believe it or not, he is the face of the 76ers still. And B working on it, right? And B, it's going to be him, Dr. J. It's going to be Allen Iverson, Dr. J, and B, the three faces of the 76ers all time. It took long enough. He should have been had a statue. To me, like I said, the statue going to be him with his hand to his ear. Right. I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be. But honestly, bro, and as far as his career, I would say Allen Iverson don't have a championship partially because of him. I would say it's 60% his fault. 60-40, bro. Allen Iverson, of course, we were young, but the stories I heard about Allen Iverson in the club with his homeboys, just a bunch of wild shit, and the nigga don't like practice. But his style of play, bro, in my mind, as an NBA and as a sports fan, I've tried to put together teams and teammates with Iverson. It's remember, Matt, me and you was doing after. It's hard to do. Think about it. Think, what's a good star to put alongside Allen Iverson? It's hard to do. You can't put him with Kobe. You can't put him with you can try to put him with Shaq or Tim Duncan or KG, but he ball dominant. You would have to put him with an Antoine Walker or a younger Chris Webber.
Swift, like somebody who could play off the ball who don't need it in their
right,
hand.
Right, but somebody who's clearly the second star and he's clearly the first, but somebody like Antoine Walker. Antoine Walker can give you anywhere between 17 and 24 a game.
He would have to play Ray Allen, catch and shoot.
You think so?
Think so?
Because he does not need to dribble. He's just gonna sit there. He's gonna run around and get himself open. So somebody like that could be a two guard with Ray Allen, but it is hard to find a lot of people.
What about a Rashard Lewis?
No, because neither one of these N words play defense.
Rashard, but put him at the four.
I feel like Rashard did he. I know he was a catch and shoot guy. He had a nice stroke, but I felt like he did a good amount of dribbling to get to his spot as well to make him effective in the meantime.
Right.
Whereas Ray Allen was just Rip Hamilton with Iverson. I think that would be that's something that could work.
I feel like Iverson is naturally a two guard. I would love to see him play with a point guard like Chauncey Billups.
That mess up Iverson game to me. He's gonna get the ball too much. He's gonna slow it down. Chauncey gonna set up the
but
right.
But you see
play.
What I'm saying? It's hard to put another star next to him because of his style of play. And so people try to compare it to Kobe's, but Kobe, bro, that triangle offense hard to run, bro. You know what I'm saying? Kobe was the quarterback of that, bro. Iverson hard to play. like I said, Antoine Walker. You would have to just put him with a player like that and just put a bunch of role pieces around him. Maybe a Keith Mutombo, Eric Snow, 3-and-D guys, and somebody who can protect the rim.
I was going to say, I think a big, you know, a prolific big, I think he could play with like a Shaq, though. A prolific big man. Obviously, Shaq, he going to need the ball. He does slow it down, too, as well, because you got to feed him in the post. So that could be a conflict. But, yeah, I think he definitely got to be somebody that's in the paint and just can, you know, help him out. Because really, Mutombo, he just didn't have he needed a little bit more offense. And I think it has to come from down low.
Man, really I know that. Bruh, ain't no way him and Melo should have won more together. Him and Carmelo should have won more together, bro. I was in high school when him and Melo was playing together. It was a bunch of first round exits.
Yeah.
They had Kenya Martin, Marcus Camby, Nene, J.R. Smith, Birdman. Bro, the team was loaded.
Now, like on 2K and live, whatever we was playing back.
It was
then,
hard to beat.
They was fire, yeah. It was fire.
Ain't no way. But you either need a secondary star, like on that level, like y'all said, a big man, or you just maybe a point guard who can, man, obviously you got to put on the ball, bro. That's when he won MVP. That's when he won MVP, he was at shooting guard. They took him off the ball.
Guard? Who?
Yeah, they took him off.
Chauncey Billups wasn't his point guard in one of them Denver years?
No,
they got traded for each other.
And then remember, that's how he even got there.
Yeah.
I don't know if. I mean, it's kind of similar to a
maybe
John Morant.
Jason Williams.
It's kind of similar to a John Morant. I mean, you can't see him doing similar to like what Steph is doing. I know that he's not a 3-point specialist. But Steph is a point, you know, a shooting point guard.
But Steph moves without the ball.
He does. And he passes the ball, too, to he get Clay. He hit Clay. Now he can hit Clay
Steph
all day.
Steph is a threat without the ball. Iverson, while it's like I want to, you know, make sure he doesn't get the ball, you're not looking at him like, well, that's a threat because he about the backdoor cut and pull up for a three on the other side.
But you know what's frustrating, y'all? Iverson can pass. Like, he can drop downs. Like, it's frustrating, bro, because I'm an Iverson fan, so in my head for years, I'm like, man, who can I put? I always want to give my favorite players help. I felt bad when Iverson was in Philly by himself. I felt bad when Tracy McGrady was in Orlando by himself. And I would try to be like, man, if T-Mac had Jason Kidd in Orlando, oh, my God, that would unlock him. You dig? But it's easier to me. It was easier to put somebody alongside T-Mac than it was Iverson. It just was to me.
Yeah. If I'm starting any type of dream team or any type of pick 'em or like fantasy situation, Iverson, like you mentioned, he's just not in the equation for me personally.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But on the street, we playing at Rucker? Oh, yeah.
Shoot me. Let me get a maybe a Ron Artest next to Iverson or a prime Jermaine O'Neal. People forget Jermaine O'Neal was a beast for like 5 years, but people forget for about that 4-5 year stretch, Jermaine O'Neal was 25-12-2. Easy, bro. Easy.
Yeah, prime AD and DeMarcus Cousins type numbers back then.
Yeah, bro. The two-way player, block shots, rebound, mid-range, post-game. I remember Jermaine O'Neal with the braids. Bro. So, Iverson.
They probably go to the finals at least, though.
Honestly, bro, and then what pissed me off even more, Iverson played in the East. The East was not strong. Iverson should have more than one finals appearance coming out the East.
That's fixed.
Especially at that time, yeah.
I feel like Iverson had a chance to win a championship with Denver if they would have found the right point guard and took him off the ball.
No, that's what
but
I was
they
say.
Was facing the. They was going up against the Lakers for a lot of those years. I mean,
when they made the conference finals that year, it was with Chauncey. So in my head, I feel like that was their way of saying, "All right, so we like you, but we know we ain't making."
Yeah, because man, they traded Chauncey for Iverson, right?
Right. That's when Iverson went to Detroit. Yeah, that's what I was like. I mean, they ain't wrong because, like, be real, that year I don't think they would have necessarily made it up against the Lakers in that Western Conference Finals with Iverson.
Until they made it, and when they made the trade for Chauncey, Denver went on a run.
My point exactly.
He did, so. But Iverson, man,
nice too though. Back. I rock with Chauncey. Yeah.
Oh, this is the big shot. Come on,
yeah.
Now.
Yeah, shout out
man,
to
Iverson, bro. I'm just for sure. You should have at least one championship, bro. At least one. At least you too great of a player. Not that. And I'm not saying it's all your fault. Like I said, 60-40. Larry Brown would give him a hard time. I'm not even gonna lie. And he didn't have the right. He didn't have the right coaching until he got to them. So.
We need to put together a list. It ain't got to be today, but just of the best players without rings. Obviously, you know, you got the Charles Barkley's out there.
Carmelo.
Did Gary Payton win one? Payton never got one.
Yeah, one Miami, but he was a role.
But Miami, right. That shit don't care.
Right. Westbrook. If you wanted yours is nowhere near a star, and you was a star once upon a time, it's like, that's cute.
Yeah.
Shout out to AI though, man. We love you, man. Legend. Co-CEO, not co-CEO, him and Shaq on Reebok. So
yeah, hey, that's smart. That's smart. Shaq killing that shit. And then and he had that recent letter to Kobe that was real dope. So yeah, shout out to AI, man.
Yeah, shout out.
Chuck.
Well deserved.
But fellas, I'm moving on to some music. Nelly. Now, obviously, fellas, I know I've talked about a bunch of different albums, 80s, 90s, 2000s, but Nelly was a staple to those listening. St. Louis had the Neptunes, Lunatics, you name it, World on Fire. But Nelly made a very interesting comment recently in a sit-down, and I believe Jamal has a clip for us a bit.
Yeah, I'm fine. Keep talking. I'm still trying to find it.
I mean,
Nelly said the generation that he came up in hip-hop was the hardest, and I'm trying to find a clip for it.
This is interesting. I want to hear what he's going to say. I actually have not seen this take. Obviously, it is making some headlines. So, very interested in what he might be saying here. Because I already have my thoughts. Is this the hardest time? It is the hardest time, I would say, to get through and actually make it. But once you make it, they was making money. They was making moves. And this was a very heralded time for hip hop. So, I'm very interested on his take on this.
Hip Hop DX usually be on this shit fast.
Yeah, boy, I kind of have my own ideas, but again, I need to see something specific, maybe more, because possibly there's something he may have said that's gonna be like, all right, I ain't even think of it that way, Nelly. You might be right, but realistically, it's like, nah, bro. Like,
They had real album sales then, and there was nowhere else to get the albums unless you had LimeWire. So that just changes the whole game. Like, you could. Bro, my shit streaming right now. Make Music Slap Again. That shit made about 13 cents.
It's hard to make music.
You putting out music for promo right now so that you can sell something else. You trying to go on tour. You trying to sell some merch. You know, get my shit, LeeBoyTV.com. You can go grab you some Make Music Slap Again. But in general, like to be making music, and then can you all imagine?
Right. I think I got a clip.
And can you imagine trying to sell like a CD or something? To like, I know he wasn't doing that, but back then I used to get off some mixtapes for $5. I was getting some mixtapes off. I remember I made 300-400 at school, and you know, at a couple parties, bro. They gonna be like, "Yo, shit ain't streaming for free."
Facts. But he may have a point. Like I said earlier today, I seen like a 30-second clip. And I'm not even going to lie. In the 30-second clip, he was kind of making sense, right, bro. Let's see. My bad, fellas. It took so long to find something.
Magic of Tech now. It's all good.
Share screen. Come on, dog. God damn. All right. Let me know if y'all can see the screen.
Good.
All right. Let's see if I found something.
And it's one of those situations to where you would just hope that the Grammys get it together.
When you won all three of yours, did you used to go to the show all the time?
But first of all, I wasn't even nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys. Understand that. Country Grammar was 5 million, and I didn't even get nominated as Best New Artist. Because my album came out in 2000, so I wasn't even on the ballot. In 2001, the great, talented well-deserving Miss Alicia Keys won.
Right.
And she should have won.
Yeah.
She should have won in 2001.
Nelly, coming from the Lou, did you ever have chip on your shoulder because everything was LA, New York? Goddamn, we always talk about that with the Midwest, Mav. Like,
goddamn right.
Yeah?
Goddamn right. But you got to understand, my era of music was the toughest era in hip-hop ever. Ever. When I put out songs, I had to go against DMX,
Eminem,
Jay-Z, Eminem, Lil Wayne, 50 Cent, Luda.
Nah,
yeah.
All of us are fighting for one spot. So from 99 to like 2008, 10, it's the hardest era ever to get records. We do
this M-Pimp juicing us.
hey, bro.
I'll rock with that.
Hey, y'all. He kind of got a point.
No. So he got a point if you're the elite trying to win an award. You know what I'm saying? Like, but under all those names, right, there was about 40 acts that was killing it as well. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say like the Outkast, and there were so many people that was killing hip hop, that was doing well. All the people that was in Rough Riders, all the people that was on Rockefeller, Def Jam, all the people that was on the West Coast. This is 2001. All the people under Dr. Dre and the whole West Coast movement. Every single coast was popping as far as music. Now, if if you're trying to be number one, then yeah, you got hella competition. That is a hard, that's definitely a hard era to come up and rise to the cream of the crop and rise to the top of that era. I'm with him there. But to be successful in music, I think, you know, you have a little bit better chance because it was just so hot and it was just a meteoric rise. And then my last thing about that, I will say, though, it was harder to get a deal, though, because there was so many talented people and because the only outlet was to get onto a major label. Everyone's trying to go to get on major labels. But once you made it, it seemed like there was a lot of success at that time. You seen all the names. That was a lot of success, bro.
I don't know if that full interview came out yet. I think that's just a clip. When a full episode drop, if it has, I'm gonna watch a full episode because I think what you said. I think he talking about being number one. And at first, when he first said it, when he said Lil Wayne, I was like, Then when he said from 2006 to 2008, 2010, I was like, oh, man, yeah, now you can include Lil Wayne. He got a point, bro, because Nelly came out swinging. Nelly came out with a number one hit, number one album instantly. So I'm going to assume Nelly just talking about being number one. And around the time, that's when DMX was in his prime, Hov was in his prime, Eminem was in his prime, Lil Wayne was low enough. Ludacris, I said Ludacris already. He's not even talking about the women. We're not talking about Missy Elliott was in her prime. Eve was in her prime. 50 Cent was loading up. Bruh, Nas was still popping in his prime. Bro, he got a point. I'm not even going to lie. He got a point. I'm going to have to agree with him. I'm going to watch the full interview. Then my opinion may change, so don't hold me to this. But he got a point, man. I see you smiling. What's going on? What you thinking?
I'm gonna take it a completely different direction here. So here's why I think he does not have a point, right? Tough era, I get it, right? All the hot acts and whatnot. But here's some things we got to take into consideration. One, I had to buy a full 10-track album that might be trash to even find out what you're doing. That's one. Two, right. It wasn't like now when I can go online, like to Lee Boy's point, like forget where your music is available at. I couldn't find out about X amount of artists. So it's like, to Nelly's point, it's like, yeah, that may be true. But at the same time, bro, for a period, you was the only artist that some kids around the world was checking for. Like Lee Boy said, it's only a handful. So to me, it's like, it was hard, but it's like, that actually worked in their favor too. Because nowadays, most artists can't drop an album. They have to drop singles. It's changed the whole algorithm now because people's looking like, if it ain't. So it's like, Nelly, I feel you. But at the same time, like, nah, I really don't feel like that was the hardest era because now people could put out twice the amount of music, they don't need a label, and people's attention spans are shorter. So you got to put out shorter music that still hits when there's, what, a billion people that's this year going to drop something on Spotify?
So you saying this era is the hardest, the current era that we
in. I used to say streaming was the equalizer. Now, I can honestly say now it's way harder to make it in rap. This is the toughest era.
That's fair. And when you said this era, because we in a funny time, That's fair.
It's no rappers right now, bro. Drake and Kendrick and goddamn J. Cole is still the best rappers, and they haven't put out shit that's even good, bro. Like honestly, like, there is no rappers right now. You gotta be Glorilla to get any shine right now. Are we gonna talk about that later? So I don't want to go too far into that. But no, I just really feel like because of the labels' investment in these artists, and then it's, you know, especially with somebody like Nelly, if we exclude, I don't want to exclude Eminem just for my point, but he was the whole Midwest. Like, you have no other competition in the Midwest. It's just you and your label is propping you up like crazy. And I just feel like once you made it to the top, now he might have had to struggle and go hard to get up there to get his status. But once he was out, bro, he was putting on Ching-a-ling, bro. And that nigga was going multi-platinum. But, you think it's hard if Ching-a-ling going multi? I know, man, I have more bars than Ching. Come on, y'all, man. I got bars than Ching-a-ling, bro.
He put St. Louis on the map.
100%. 100%.
Tell me what Ching-a-ling said, man. What
do you say? What you got for a pork chop?
That's it. It was hard. It was hard making. That was it. That's the proof is in the pudding, man.
Give me what you got for a pork chop, and we were dancing to that shit.
Type of welfare.
I like it how you do it right there.
Right there.
That shit was a hit, though, bro. Hey, that shit was a monster, bro. Don't let the fact that we joking, hey, bro.
If he dropped it now, it'd be on the loading page on your YouTube.
That nigga Nelly said on EI, I'm a sucker for cornrows and manicure toes.
Hey,
my nigga, what?
That's hands.
You mean pedicure toes?
Oh wait, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, and he said it confident,
too.
Like, he funny.
But, bro, what pissed me off is we let him get away with it for about 15, 10 years. We didn't realize that until late on in social media. Like, hey, wait. My nigga, you mean a pedicure?
And I didn't want to take it there with Nelly because I believe he made great music. He created great songs. But for him to be expecting, based on his, you know, his lyrical ability or his creativeness into his songs, for him to, you know, be expecting to be the number one artist as far as like the number one new artist, that to me shows the bar is low, personally.
But I've heard rappers say, I heard Joe Budden say Nelly can really rap.
But he got just manicured toes, though, bro.
Yeah, like,
somebody breaking down the way minds were thinking back then, that shit. Right. People was laughing at that.
Jamal, to your point, some people always said, man, 2 Chainz can really rap, but from time to time, they feel like you're playing. So my combo, you know, to that is, all right, Cam'ron. Because when Cam'ron really wanted, but Cam'ron's never going to say, man, I should have the number one. I just feel like when you make a certain type of music, it makes sense for you to say that. Nelly
Mace
never,
the same way. Mace can rap, too.
Oh, Mace can rap his asshole, but even Mace, outside of the Bad Boy thing, and again, that was only cool back then, because nowadays, you say Bad Boy, people say no Diddy, like, that's, you know what I mean? That whole language now in the Bad Boy camp is no good, but my point is, yeah, even Mace, he don't have no valid argument to me to ever be like, yeah, I should have been the greatest. You never made that type of music.
Greatest at the Grammys, and not just in his category. He was talking about going up against Alicia Keys, like, there's no the substance and the content of your music, sir. Compared to a Jay-Z, Eminem, and I'm not even an Eminem fan, but you know, and he made the song number one. I am number one.
Number one. Come on,
bro. You gotta say you are number one.
What does it take
one
to be number one?
I ain't gonna try to call it trash, but I ain't making no song. I am number one.
But you know what makes it special? I'm on Nelly's side. Nelly the only one who can make a song like that.
Exactly.
I think he's the only one who would, but I think you're right.
But it works.
He's the only one can make it hot. He's the only one that make.
Yeah,
I'll
that song
that
was popping too. That song was popping too, bro. Nelly first three albums, he was on. Bro, Nelly first three albums, he was on fire, bro. Until he did that Sweat Soup double album shit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm never. Air Force, I'm on
Air Force
side,
Ones,
bro.
You can't be a number one. Or, I'm sorry. You can't rise above Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
But Lee Boy, man.
I
was born in 93, bro. He's the person who introduced me to Air Force Ones. I'm not from New York. But
That's not even crazier, right, Matt? Now it's
but even you, that's only one part of it. I promise you, there's people from outside of just like I said, Louisiana. Most people throughout the country knew about Air Force Ones way before.
No, bro. That's cap. I'm telling you, Air Force Ones went from Air Force Ones went from $40 to after he made that song to $100.
I don't remember what they was cost by the time, but I know
I'm telling you, bro, he made. I know New York. That's a staple in New York. Air Force One, especially the white ones. But outside of New York, bro, Nelly for millennials, Nelly made Air Force Ones popping in everywhere, and specifically in the South, bro. We didn't start wearing Air Force Ones until he came out with that song. The price went up half because of Nelly, bro. I'm telling you, man.
He makes hot music. But I would just question the content. I don't want to hear nobody like as much Chucks as Snoop wear. He don't have an rock, get some Chucks. Like, no, no, we don't know.
Well, y'all going at Nelly style. Nelly is the only one.
No,
Nelly,
that's all he got is style. I'm talking about like the content, his style. His right, guy, you know, his ability to make music.
Just style, like you said, shout out to Cameron and Mace. When it's mainly style, don't come talking about you should have been number one and all this. No, like,
That's not what he said.
Even the toughness part, don't say that neither, because you wasn't making the best music that was even out for you to talk about how tough it was. Jay-Z could come and say it was that tough. Eminem could come
I bet you in 2001, it's a hot take. And it's probably not no hot take. The number's probably on Google. I bet you he sold more records than Jay-Z that year.
Oh, yeah.
And that Blueprint album is arguably Jay-Z's best album.
That's
what I'm talking about. We're talking about selling some records. I bet you he sold more than
He sold the most records, yeah.
He probably been for that 1 year. I'll give you that.
Nah, bro.
No, minus M, though.
Hold on, Jay-Z, bro, Eminem, they first three after
bro, people don't understand, bro. I know Jay-Z is iconic, legendary rapper and iconic mogul, but Jay-Z albums never really sold that much, bro.
They always
look at the numbers.
It's 10 platinum.
He usually go one time platinum, though, whereas M was going five.
Man, I get
Matt,
that.
You talking about, no, Matt, you talking about now. I'm talking M about when diamond. They first drop.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about when they first drop. That's over time, yeah. But bro, Jay-Z albums when they first used to drop, they didn't sell crazy. They sold, but they didn't sell. Man, Nelly first three albums, A Country Grammar, Nelly, fuck the first three, the first two, Country Grammar and Nellyville, bro. They sold, man. He was going crazy. That's why him and KRS-One was beefing, because KRS-One was talking about
he was number one. That's why.
That makes sense.
Yeah, put out number one first. But Eminem, you're right. He was selling 3 to 5 million consistently on opening.
And I'm not saying Nelly is nowhere near the caliber rapper of Jay-Z. That is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about just selling records.
See, I feel
You're right. But he compared himself to
that
Jay.
That's his era. Wayne. You know what I'm saying? That's his era.
Now Wayne, come on, man. Because that is actually a peer. I think that would be a comparison. And he just can't compare to Wayne. He just can't. So I ain't gonna shit on him too much.
But at the beginning, he could. Wayne caught up later.
I guess I just like lyrics too much.
I think Jamal, that's the main thing. You like to your point. His peak was, you know what I mean, beat Red Hot Fire. But overall, I think that's why more so my mindset is stuck on now, because realistically, I'm not, and I love Nelly, but I'll definitely go listen to a Wayne or a Jay-Z or Eminem before I may turn on a Nelly song. But he definitely had his moment. Yeah, to your point, sales-wise, yeah, you ain't lying. He was killing it back then. But I just think it was a wild. I think we need to see the whole interview, because like you said, the comment was a little strange. There were parts of it I was like,
Right, I feel y'all. I mean, I can't get mad at how y'all feel. I'm right there next to
Bow Wow, man. We good.
Oh man, that's just, hey, Bow Wow sold records.
That's cool, yeah.
First five albums,
Nelly is right? better they in the Bow. Same category.
No, yeah. no, don't do Nelly like that. Nelly is way.
Nelly, Bow, right there. That's where I put them together.
Shout out to Nelly, man.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, but fellas, I want to close with something just as controversial because I know, you know what I mean? We about to piss off a few more people. Talking about female rap. Now, recently, I believe it was Joe Budden who went out there and said that he feels like female rap is pretty much done. And he went on to list, you know, a number of reasons. But fellas, I want to know, first of all, do you agree that female rap is quite done and it's under? And number two, do you think it's our fault? And when I say our fault, I'm talking about as a culture, those who consume, distribute, all that good parts of rap.
I'm gonna start with the second one. It is our fault. And when I say our fault, I'm talking about the men, the niggas. Because every time you have an actual lyrical female rapper, if she not showing no ass, we don't care. So it's our fault. And I can't really blame Lil' Kim and Foxy because that, bro, that was in the 90s, bro. You don't have to copy what, even though they're a pioneer, especially Lil' Kim, you don't have to copy what she do. Everybody don't have to be Lil' Kim. Missy Elliott proved that. Missy Elliott, when have you seen Missy Elliott show some ass?
I don't
even know. Even when she lost weight, and she looks amazing now. What have you ever seen? You don't really see the brat showing no ass. She had videos when she was in a bikini and stuff, but for the most part, the brat in comfortable clothes. The brat sold records. Missy sold records. So why now all of a sudden, Eve never really showed no ass like this. She sold skin, and Eve is sexy. She really coming out with her own.
Yeah, Eve was on her just, I'm just spitting right
well, bro, so,
we supported right. Eve, though. We supported Eve.
But that's my point. It's now, this generation, so the Eve, the Missy Elliott, it's been proven that it can be done.
Go ahead, throw Lauryn Hill out there. You know,
Lauryn Hill, girl. Too, right. It's been proven that it can be done. So, if I can't blame the girls for wanting to go get their body done and showing some ass, because when we passed that stage where the Missy Elliott and shit don't work, so it's us fault because we always some horny niggas. And Joe Budden may be right. I don't know. Joe Budden seems to be a Jedi when it comes to these things. He always a couple years or a couple months ahead of everybody, so everybody get mad at him when he first say something. But he end up being right.
Can you tell me his comments?
What he said? He said, I think that female rap wave is over. I think, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, all they going to Brazil or wherever to get your body done, and they sticking you with a famous producer, those days are over. He said the cream gonna rise to the crop, though. The Lottos, the Rhapsodies, they ain't going nowhere. That's pretty much what the basis of what he said, yeah.
Yeah,
who really can rap.
Rhapsody is definitely an example of not getting enough support, for sure.
Right.
I always used to love Rod Digger, bro. She never Thanks. Hit the peak the way she should have, man. She was raw. And why Babs take her exact style? But I ain't gonna get on that right now. But no, I do like Lotto. I like Lotto a lot right now, and I think she takes it seriously. And so I do like, the attention that she pays to rap. But you know, people like her a lot for her body and what she could do for us aesthetically. And I think there isn't enough attention that's just paid to her lyrical ability. As far as what is Joe Budden and his statements or what he's putting out there, I do think, you know, like you said, he says stuff ahead of time. He says it while it's a hot take. He knows that it's not today, but it is coming. I do agree with him for sure that, you know, the City Girls, I never even really heard a City Girls track, but I just know that they are very famous based on being City Girl about what? Scamming and having a ass and titties. I don't know. I don't know what they do. I don't get it. So there's a lot of them that I just really don't understand. And it's just gonna play its way right out the game. Like Ice Spice, she's a fart. You know what I'm saying? She's literally a fart out here, and it's just really shock value. Sorry, y'all. Matt is trying not to laugh because she literally, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Her lyrics are kind of embarrassing, and it's just a reflection that you could get up there and just put on some cream color shorts that just blend with your skin color, and you can't even tell she got on clothes half the time because she just wearing nude and she just looked nude, and she ain't even that attractive. I really don't get it, but she is playing off you know, what people want to see, and it's just you know, it's gonna come to an end soon. Now, what's coming behind it? Are we gonna actually support a female lyricist like a Rhapsody? I don't think so. I just think that, you know,
we getting a bunch of AI rappers. Like, I might as well get ready for it.
I think rap is done. I think rap, because yeah, we talked about it earlier that, you know, is really still J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. That's really the only pillars of the game. Who's the hot artist right now? Nicki Minaj and Kanye. Like,
and even that, it's hot for the moment, right? Because all of them is everybody you see canceling tours, this person's show, believable. I just want to throw this out there because you made a great point about these female rappers. I think some of them should really take a page out of, let's look at Lola Brooke and Glorilla, for the simple fact that they doing the same thing as a lot of the men, right? Talking all that tough gangster shit and all that. Neither one of them is showing a piece of ass. They both are lyrical. So I think to the ladies, as far as female rap, like Lee Boy said, rap may be over as a whole, but for the female rappers, come out. And if you want to spit that gangster shit, do that. But when it comes to having an image, have your image. Don't let your ass be part of the image, because it gets old. Literally, whether it's a fake one, a real one, you're going to be old one day. And if you can't show that, and that's all you was, like Ice Spice. And that's, like I said, I know people listen to her, but every time I see her, this bitch is leaned over and just shaking her butt. I'm just like, all right, what you going to do when that get old?
Yeah. Man, and it don't help that the girlies don't get along.
Man.
They always got a fucking problem or beef with each other. And I'm gonna find a way to blame Lil Kim and Foxy Brown for this shit. But that's the beginning of this shit. That's where it started for me. I think for a lot of hip hop fans, man, like, they would make it sad if they started off cool. And it's always over some catty bullshit, man. It's enough room for all of y'all to exist. Like, that's so insecure, man, to me. Like, dog, you can shine. It may be your month. It may be your year. Next year gonna be her year. You know, this year is Lil Kim year. Next year is Foxy year. Then the next year after that gonna be your year again. What's all the static for? Y'all gotta get along first, to me. If y'all don't want it to, like I said, hip hop. Period. But Busta Rhymes said in his BET Awards speech, man, all that petty beef is corny as whack. It really is, bro. Let's stick together. And let's stop acting like we really rock with each other and actually start doing it. I say that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, I think rap is unfortunately on a huge decline. It's really going to be Afro beats that's going to just take over the culture, and low island music, shit like that is really going to take it to the next level. Man, I wish I was looking on my phone because I was trying to think of this New York rapper. She reminds me a lot of Lola Brooke. And she is a very lyrical. She really got her start on Instagram say it again.
Scarlet.
Not Scarlet. I do like her too, though. I like appreciate her too, Scarlet. Yeah. But you mentioned you mentioned my girl Krubin that make all that good music.
Glorilla.
Glorilla. She keep making music, baby. Keep making music. Cuban on Cuban. Krubin's. Krubin's out here. I'm rocking with that. Obviously, we saw LeBron with the baby shorts rocking with it. They got a little picture together, man. Hopefully, you know, she can continue to rock. You seen what they say about her, that she, Wendy Raquel Robinson, long lost child.
Facts. That's facts.
Shout out to Miss Wendy, man. But she is definitely, I like her spirit. I like her positivity overall. There's a few people out there that definitely are still rocking, you know, the original spirit of hip hop. I believe she's one of them. She keeps it pretty dope. So, I mean, we'll see, man. I'm just not very encouraged about the state of rap. When you got Lizzo, is probably, they be calling her a rapper, and Doja Cat, and they like running. Doja Cat, she got a couple bars, but I don't like her personally. I do like her music. And so she's like one of the best rap female artists.
And that's my problem, bro. That's my fucking problem. Because Doja Cat is exactly the type of chick I would mess with. I swear to God, I'll be looking at Doja Cat, bro, and I follow her on Instagram, bro, and I be seeing that shit she posts in the video, and I be saying, dog, I bet she got some bomb ass pussy, dog. That I swear to God, bro, I know something wrong with me, bro. I swear, bro, cause she not ugly. She just be on some weird shit, and I know she do that shit on purpose, and I see right through it. So that's not enough to scare me away.
Oh, I found it, Lady London. Y'all follow
Lady London? Oh yeah, yeah.
That's who I was trying to think. She got bars. She pretty in the face. She don't really show her ass. She keep it classy. I rock with her. I like Bia too.
Yeah, I like Bia.
But really, Lady London, I've been following her for years. I've wanted her to blow up and really take over the rap game. It ain't gonna happen because she is not gonna compromise her morals. So unfortunately, we just we left with Lotto. She got some bars, man. And she been rapping since she was like 10 years old. So
I said she was on the show. Yeah, I remember years ago.
Yeah,
yeah. AI hip hop coming soon, fellas. AI hip hop coming soon. Be ready. Yeah. But hey, man,
let's start as an artist, the 80, 90, 2000 vibe artist, man. AI artist, man.
Let me get that bread.
Yeah,
but man, yeah, this has been episode 125.
Man, we flying.
125 in the books. Fellas, tell them all your socials, all what you got coming up, all that good stuff.
Hell yeah, man. We got a home for Nostalgia. Oh, look, NostalgiaCon. That's already a con out there. SplatCon. We got a home. Go on SplatCon.com. We're going to be at the LAX Hilton October 19th and 20th. Sign that contract. It's all official. And we about to start announcing major attendees, y'all. We got some big people that's coming out. A lot of love that people are showing. So make sure y'all tune in. Request a guest. That way we can send them your requests and show them, look, we got 100 people requesting you, Kale. Kenan, we need you. No, but other than them, I'm telling you, the names that we're going to be announcing are going to be incredible. Go on SplatCon.com. Also follow if you want to get some Lee Boy merch, LeeBoyTV.com.
Man, hey, I'm tuned in. I'm gonna be there, turned up. I'm ready.
Oh yeah, we're gonna definitely be doing a live pod there. That's a guarantee. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. There's gonna be plenty of people to interview, so I'm excited.
Dope. Now, shout out to SplatCon, y'all. Like you said, definitely go make sure y'all support. Y'all can find me at Real Matt Corbin on all platforms: YouTube, Instagram, you name it. New daily reels always dropping. Yeah, like you said, just keep supporting us. We got a whole bunch of things coming, y'all. Like I said, powered by SplatCon, 80s, 90s. Subscribe to the Patreon, the YouTube. Trust me, you don't want to miss a second.
Hey, man, we not going nowhere, dog. And I know podcasting is drying up, but hey, man, that's for the motherfuckers who lazy and don't want to put in no work. Of course, it's going to get harder when you don't want to do it in the first place. You dig? So follow me on Instagram at Jamal Joseph Jermaine Adams. Be sensitive. Don't follow me. Nobody got time for that shit. Most importantly, follow us on Instagram at 80s and 2000s vibe. Same on YouTube, Threads, Patreon. Subscribe to our Patreon. Subscribe to us on YouTube, man. Like that help us grow. Give us a 5-star rating so we can crack the top 100 more often. Mm. You know what I'm saying? This is 80s and 2000s vibe, the podcast. I am Jamal
Lee Boy,
Matt Corbin,
and we out.
Peace.